You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Sport and the Law on Breakfast with Bossy and Brandy. For Bryden's Lawyers, let our team of professionals help with your legal matter.
Morning, Lee.
Morning, Greg. Good morning, Andrew. Always a pleasure to be with you both.
Leichhardt Oval, mate. Before we get into our Sport and the Law chat, Leichhardt Oval. Shane Richardson said yesterday, he said, well, we just won't be playing there next year if there's not some type of upgrade. I guess it's, you know, it would have been frustrating for you over the years. Leichhardt, this great oval, everyone thinks that the Tigers are playing there. Can't get any money to upgrade it. What's your take on Leichhardt?
Look, it's very unfortunate. Look, the ambience, the feeling, the excitement generated by Leichhardt can't be replicated anywhere else. That's a given. But unfortunately, commercial reality does intervene, and Leichhardt has not been a happy hunting ground so far as the facilities corporates are concerned. The corporate facilities house less than 400, the same as Campbelltown. You look at Townsville, for example, the Cowboys Stadium, that's 2,400 corporates every home game. So an additional 2,000 generates an enormous amount of revenue. Now, I know, listening to Shane Richardson's podcast with James Graham the other day, that commercial reality figures largely in his mind. Now, I know Leichhardt needs upgrading and the like, but I suspect that they might be looking at moving to larger grounds just for the commercial reasons, let alone anything else. But in terms of upgrading of Leichhardt, it's long overdue. It's not just rugby league that is played there. There'll be five NRL games there this year with the West Tigers. But the amount of soccer games, women's sports, etc., school sports that are played there, someone said to me, it's the best part of a couple hundred games a year. So as a community facility, upgrade long overdue. It's an embarrassment, in fact, to that local council and the state government.
That is such a good point, Lee. And you don't often, you forget about the involvement of other sports. And Leichhardt, and that would be right. There might be up to 200 games a year on Leichhardt Oval. It deserves a bit of funding. To service not just the Balmain, not just the West Tigers, and not just that area, but everyone that uses it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm, good argument.
All right, we've got a lot happening today, Lee. One is around the AFLW story and drugs policy versus the law. It's a very interesting situation, and it's been observed by those on the program today that the AFL media, they respect the AFL, that you don't name a player. But here's the case of these two AFLW players, named in the Herald, Alexia Hamilton, Paige Shepherd, were charged with possessing cocaine late last year. It's the first time AFLW players have been caught for such behaviour. They were each sentenced to a 12-month conditional release order. So the Herald's gone ahead and named them, quite obviously. They've been in court. They don't have to stick to the AFL policy where there's, you know, first strike and you don't name anyone. But the press out of Melbourne doesn't name the players. They live in that AFL world and don't. So, drugs policy versus the law. Does anything that the game puts down, be it AFL, rugby league, any sport, would it hold up in a court of law as defence in terms of, could you get a suppression order if you're a sports star and you're on such a charge?
No, not at all. There's no competition whatsoever as between the laws of the state and any rules of any association or sporting body as such. So once you appear in the courts, justice must not only be done, it must be seen to be done. So in the absence of a suppression or a non-publication order. There can be no lawful restraint on the publication of the names. However, the difficulty arises under the AFLW rules, the same as the NRL, is that the rules govern all of those who are part of the game, those who sign on. And the NRL rules govern, of course, the clubs and game officials, match officials, players, and the like, but also the press who are accredited through the NRL need to abide by the NRL rules. Now, the NRL rules do provide, of course, this first strike, no-name policy, and as such, expect people to abide by it. But if the player is charged and appears in the courts and is therefore named publicly, what is the purpose, one asks rhetorically, of the restriction on those partaking in the game in not naming those persons, given that it's already in the public domain? And if you did name them and the NRL decided that it was a breach of their rules, what's the utility in punishing that person if the name's already known? The difficulty arises, as you alluded to, Andrew, is where they are not charged. Everyone knows who they are, but the rules provide they cannot be named. And it's a judgment call as to whether or not these people should remain anonymous and have that benefit, whereas others in the community do not enjoy that privilege.
No, that's right. That's right. It is amazing, though. The Telegraph is written by a journalist by the name of Jay Clark. He works for the Herald Sun, so he's based in Melbourne. He starts his story. Two Sydney Swans AFLW players have been charged by police for possessing illicit drug. The Swans on Monday night confirmed to the Herald Sun the club was aware two players had been found guilty with an illicit substance believed to be cocaine in December. The Herald just hit you between the eyes. Just bang. Court records show Alexia Hamilton and Paige Shepherd were each sentenced and give you the detail. Great contrast between the two, the two stories where they originated from. So there we have it. Law and policy. Now, still on AFL. Still on AFL.
You want to go down the AFL? I want to throw one up at Lee it did cross my mind. I was in a Westfield car park the other day, and level two was full. I'd done a complete lap up the aisles. I couldn't find a parking spot. And as I was thinking of heading up to level three, there was a spot there, but it was one of those pram, parking spaces.
Hello. Said, babe, where are we going here?
And it did cross my mind fleetingly. I thought, maybe. I was only going to be 15 minutes. I didn't. In the end, I didn't. But if I had pulled up in the pram space and who would book me? What happens in that? Can I get fined if I pull up in the pram space?
This is interesting.
No, that's a misunderstanding many people have, and I've seen it quite often. And it happens out here at Liverpool. I shouldn't name the facility, but there's a private hospital that has a penchant for fining persons who park their cars within the hospital car park. Only statutory authorities can issue fines. Councils, the police, for example, some of the government agencies. No one else, no ordinary citizen or organisation can issue a fine as such. What they issue is a notice of debt. So when you enter a car park, a private facility car park, you're entering into a contract with the car park operator. The big sign out the front that says open from 8 a.m. until midnight, for example, and these are the terms and conditions. This is an invitation to treat. And you make an offer to engage by entering the car park. They accept your offer and then the contract's formed. And the terms and conditions are set out. And that would include, for example, not parking in a spot provided for mothers or fathers with children in prams as such. But they cannot issue a fine and they can't do anything. They can't cause any damage to the vehicle as such. As well. It's more an illusory sort of warning, more so than any sort of legal ramification that can be applied to it, because they don't have the authority to do so. If there is a breach of the contract, then they can sue you for whatever damage has arisen as a result of that. But there's no fines issued, Greg, and there's no long-term legal consequences as such. It could be embarrassing for you, though, if you see a number of fathers or mothers with prams waiting for that spot and you jump out of your car, but apart from that, there aren't a lot of legal consequences.
Yeah, with a full tank
moment.
Of petrol. With a full tank of petrol having
full tank.
Come from the day. Double down. Oh, now that's great advice. So, Brandy, well, I don't know. Is it worth giving it a crack and seeing what the reaction would be? I tell you what. Get Fletch to do it. Get Fletch at Bondi Junction. Get him to park in a pram spot.
Boy, Bondi Junction. Get some bad looks at Bondi.
I think so. I just think one of us need to take a hit for the team here to see what the public outcry would be.
Brian,
what the pylon would be.
Back to your AFL. You had an AFL question.
Oh, I did, about the pitch invader Friday night. Now, we've spoken before about this with fines around big stadia policy as opposed to suburban grounds. If you jump the fence at a suburban ground, what fine you could face as opposed to jumping the fence at an Allianz Stadium or an Accor Stadium. So they've had it the other night in Adelaide, and the commentators were very strong that, you know, life bans, the whole bit. What court punishment could be imposed, and can the AFL come over the top with further punishment? Are they allowed to do more, and then could the person then go back and appeal against what the AFL handed down if it was stronger than what the courts did?
Interesting conundrum, and I'm assuming there's a similar situation in South Australia as there is in New South Wales. We have spoken previously about the Sporting Venues Invasions Act. Covers Central Coast Stadium in Gosford, Wollongong, Newcastle, Parramatta, Sydney Cricket Ground, Sydney Football Stadium, or as they are known now, differently. $5,500 fine for a person who enters or remains on the playing field, 12-month ban, and even a life ban from entering that sporting venue if you were removed and had been previously banned for the same thing. Now, that's the provisions under the law. But a sporting facility, a venue itself, is not a public venue. People do not have a right of entry. It is a private facility that you enter pursuant to an agreement or a contract with the venue owner or the venue operator. So it is perfectly open to that venue operator not to enter into a particular agreement or contract with an individual. And it's no different to a coffee shop or a restaurant or a hardware store where the owner has the right of refusal. Now, the only restraint on that, of course, is the exceptions come under things like the Anti-Discrimination Act, whereby you can't exclude someone on the grounds of race or colour, religion, etc. But apart from that, the owner of premises, the same as you where you own your home, have the right to determine who enters and who doesn't. So the AFL, as the operator of these venues for the purpose of these games, decides that a particular person is not permitted for life to enter, that would be perfectly within their right to do so. It's not a matter of challenging it within the courts, because the courts will say, well, these people own and operate this facility. They decide who comes and who goes. So it's analogous, as I say, to your own home. You do not have a right of entry.
Yeah.
Yep.
Geez, we covered some territory in this segment. No wonder that. Good stuff. Was it 15 or 16-year-old, though, that you met, Brandy, that loves
16-year-old.
Yeah, 16-year-old.
Came up to the window and just introduced himself and said, me and my dad are great fans. We love listening to the program, but we really love, and he forgot the name of the sport and the law segment, but he said, you know, the law bit. He said, I really love that bit.
You're like Lee, Professor. Fantastic. Professor Haji Pantelis, nice, educating us all and giving us guidance to try and get through day-to-day life. And today, I think the pram spot's the big one.
There's an opening there.
There's an opening in a busy car park that people, on the direction out of via Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, the pram spot is going to be very tempting. Very tempting, Lee. What have you done?
True.
What have you done?
Gentlemen, before we do finish up, if I could just make a shout-out to Julie Romero. Julie, on Saturday, was elected as the chairperson of the Holman Barnes Group, and, of course, they're the majority shareholder of the West Tigers. Mm. And I had the pleasure of serving with Julie for a number of years on the West Tigers board. She's a wonderful person, distinguished by principles and ethics, morals, and honesty, and she will prove herself to be a wonderful appointment for both the Holman Barnes Group and the West Tigers. So I just wanted to proffer my public congratulations to her.
Is she the new chair, Lee?
She's the new chair of the Holman Barnes Group, who are the majority shareholder of the West Tigers, yes. And no, she served on the West Tigers board with me, and I caught up with her recently, and as I say, she's a delight, and I think she'll be a wonderful appointment for that organisation.
Very good.
Well done, Lee. Great segment. I give it a 10 out of 10. I'd love to say have the day off and work from home, but I don't think that happens at Brighton's Lawyers. I think you'll be flat out as always, the whole team.
In fact, I'm flying up to Port Macquarie this afternoon for the Police Rugby League Festival.
Okay.
Drop into Panthers up there, Lee. Panthers, Port Macquarie.
No, they'll be the Panthers police are up there, absolutely.
Good. Have a good afternoon in Port. See you, Lee.
All right. Enjoy.
Talk next
Take
week.
Care.
Lee Hadjimantelis from Brighton's Lawyers. Best legal advice, 1-800-848-848.
Sport and the Law on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. For Bryden's Lawyers, let our team of professionals help with your legal matter.